Congratulations to Barry Orr from Canyon Country is our grand prize winner, by the way. Going to, I don't know, Hong Kong to see the premiere of Transformers Edge of Extinction and to see Imagine Dragons play.
That's pretty cool.
We qualified you for that all weekend long. And again, the name, Kevin, of our grand prize winner this morning?
Barry Orr.
Barry Orr.
From Canyon Country.
Thank you very much, Barry. Thanks for listening. By the way, lots of great stuff to give away still on this morning's Kevin Amin Show, including a pair of tickets to go see Jack White tomorrow night at the Fonda. Just be one of the first five callers through when you hear us play any song featuring Jack White. We will play something between now and 10 a.m. here on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. And don't forget, our breakfast with Jack White is going to be Thursday morning right here on the show, too.
You know, there are problems, and everybody agrees that there are problems. And then there are people that put out solutions, and perhaps that's not a workable solution for everyone. And maybe we just need to keep spitballing. Because it's still a serious problem.
Okay.
Like, whatever do you mean?
Like sex in college. Apparently, there's enough of a problem where people are not okay with it, and it's happening anyway.
A lot of drinking going on in college.
Correct.
And yes.
Well, I think the problem is a lot of colleges have come under fire in recent months and years that they don't have strong enough sexual assault policies in place. In other words, they don't have a hierarchy that's set up that a young woman can go to them and say, hey, here's what happened. I got date raped and something will be done about it rather than just, oh, well, should have been more careful.
But there's a new law that's been co-authored by L.A. State Senator Kevin DeLeon. And it basically says, and I'm not sure, this is the part where I'm not positive it's going to work out. You need to get written consent. So
now there's paperwork involved in your sexy time?
So you're having a great night. She seems to be into you. You seem to be into her. Everything's about to move to the next step. And then you got to bring out the paperwork and have them sign.
It'd be a little awkward.
A little.
If that's what you're saying.
I'm not positive this is the answer. Although there is an issue.
But it does protect him, too.
Yes.
In case there's a question later.
Right.
I guess. So do you have to do it? I mean, I don't know. Maybe this hasn't been decided yet. They're still working out the specifics.
Oh, you need a notary public, too. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you have to do it as you go from first base to second base to third base? Or can you just start with the paperwork at the beginning and just sign all the way through to whatever happens?
I think that's up to you, right?
I don't have those details.
Okay.
Well, I don't know at which base you have to enter the paperwork.
We wanted to find out about this verbal or written permission and what's required for college sex to be consensual of both parties. And we thought there's only one guy to go to who knows about how all this stuff works. And he is our friend Bruce Endicott. And, of course, he works for the organization Coffee. And Bruce joins us back on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Mr. Endicott, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin and Bain.
Remind me, please, Coffee, what that stands for.
Coffee, our organization Coffee. The name stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay.
We are a group of highly intelligent, highly moneyed, white male Americans. And our job, as we see it, is to try to create a bridge, if you will, across the great chasm that is the divide between the sexes or between the races or between religions. And we try to cross that bridge and bring everyone together through understanding and communication.
Well, that seems like a worthy goal.
Thank you. We think so, too.
Well, you've talked us through some very delicate issues over the years, Bruce, that have to do with race and sex. And this one looks like another instance where we really do need your help. What do we need to know about this written consent for college sex?
This proposed legislation, we here at Coffee think it's an excellent idea.
Okay, you're for it, all right.
We are for it because, first of all, women are being taken advantage of in great numbers, especially in college situations. We find that just unacceptable.
Okay, I'm surprised to hear you say that, but I'm happy.
Also, we find women extremely confusing and less than smart. So
this
comes in handy because this way everyone has on the same page, if you will, literally on the page of a document, everyone understands exactly what they're entering into. And you don't have to worry about those mixed signals from the lesser sex anymore. If you're a man, you can just interact with women and have the confidence of knowing you've got a legal binding document behind you.
Okay, we don't really call them the lesser sex anymore. They do have every bit as much of a say in sexual activity as the man does.
That's what we're saying, that this document will get everyone on the same page.
But you also called girls the lesser sex.
Yeah, I heard that.
Just semantics.
Oh, really. Okay.
They're not as smart as men. Though.
Lesser, worse, dumber, whatever you want to say.
Words actually mean something. They have some impact, so. Maybe don't say that.
I'm sorry. Is someone talking?
Yeah, it's the girl.
Oh, hello. So this way, men are protected because there have been many cases where a woman has cried sexual assault against a man without significant evidence and has been very damaging to his life and career as well. It's not, you know, often the case, but it does happen. This way, everyone's protected.
Okay.
Women are protected because they are getting to say, they give the permission of what they're entering into.
Mm-hmm.
Men are being protected against being wrongly accused. This way, everyone exactly understands exactly what they're getting into, and it's an illegal binding contract. And if there's anything about white men, we love contracts.
You do love that.
Now, is there a list of things that he or she will or will not do?
Yes, of course. The document will have to be thoroughly vetted to include any possible permutation of sexuality that you may enter into so that both parties can sign off on that. You enter into a document, and there'll be a list there, and we've seen the document that they've proposed, a series of boxes that you can check next to and say, yes, I will be up for the Juanita special bean dip, for example, but not for the Kenny Bunkport surprise. You may sign off on the Monroe transfer, but you say no to the Nixon. A lot of people feel that way.
Wow, all right.
The Puerto Rican fog bank may be okay, but let's say you don't want to go for the scrunicorn.
That scrunicorn is very painful if you're not limber.
A lot of women may be up for the swimmer's ear, but not the tuna melt. We can understand that. The walrus may be fair game, but the West Side glaze may be right off the table.
What if everyone doesn't know what all of those terms are?
Well, caveat emptor.
What?
Buyer beware.
Buyer beware. I see.
If you're getting in that situation, you better know your terms. I mean, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
I see.
You can't, right. You can't get into the Brazilian flapjack and then afterwards complain, oh, I didn't know what it was. You know, if you and your partner, you know, you go in and you do the chocolate pizza milkshake,
right.
Don't think, you know, you're going to get the Davy Crockett instead. It's your own fault if you're not understanding that.
You got to learn. You got to bone up before you bone, it sounds like.
That's what I'm saying. Don't go in expecting the flaming Amazon and coming out with the flying Dutchman.
Okay. All right. If you learn nothing else from today's show, please take that away. Okay. I know that your deal is to whip people into a needless frenzy, Kevin. I know that's
deal,
what you're about.
By the way.
But has there ever one time in history been somebody who's super sick, doesn't go to a doctor, and then dies?
Yes.
Yes, you idiot.
It happens all the time.
Oh. All right, behind the scenes.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Behind the scenes, Bean has been sick all week, and it has been getting progressively worse.
Yes.
This is about as sick as I've been in as long as I can remember, by the way. This is pain sick. This is can barely get out of bed sick. This is achy joints. This is headache. This is alternating fevers and chills. This is, I mean, it's been bad.
So we started complaining about this on, I don't know, Tuesday.
When I came in Tuesday, right?
Right. And we said, hey, gone to the doctor? Nope. Wednesday, hey, you going to the doctor today? Probably not. Yesterday, you going to the doctor? Nope. I might go in the evening if I feel better, Bean said.
You don't go
to the doctor when you feel better, genius.
Yesterday, I felt like I was too sick to go to the doctor. I could not conceive of getting up, getting dressed, and even having somebody else drive me to the doctor and waiting in a waiting room and going through all that process.
Is this your way of getting out of the weenie roast because you don't want to be around people?
No, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to infect every goddamn one of you. I'm absolutely going
to
be there.
So we're going to take calls right now from people who waited too long to go to the doctor.
And what happened?
How dare you?
1-800-520-1067. You waited too long. And what happened?
So in other words, had you gone in a reasonable period of time, they could have easily cured you.
Correct.
With an antibiotic or with some medicine or something.
But you were Bean-esque.
But you waited too long, and now all of a sudden, now you got a big hole in your chest, or you lost a limb or something like that, or you're mentally retarded or something, right?
Listen to him say it like it's so funny. You know, I'm pretty convinced it's a kidney infection, of which you only have one. You would treat that thing with kid gloves.
But am I stupid in
that?
Yes.
Okay. Rest of sentence. Am I stupid in that I feel like, wouldn't it be unusual to get kidney stones at this late stage of my life?
I had a kidney infection, which I told you the other day, and it had nothing to do with kidney stones, and I'd never had one before.
Oh, it could just be an infection. Yeah.
Oh, he did go on WebMD.
I did go on WebMD. Thank you, Kevin.
And got a lot of new ideas of what it could be, and they're all bad.
Oh, that's when I found out I probably have syphilis.
Right. So 1-800-520-1067. You waited too long to go to the doctor. We'll talk. Tony just tweeted, just let him die. That's a pretty good idea.
Thanks, Tony. Let him die.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:40. Bean has been sick all week and has not gone to the doctor yet.
Look, a lot of times, guys, and you know this, you do get better.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just the flu, and it just has to work its way through, and there's nothing you can do for it except
Right. Stay
hydrated, maybe drink some soup, something
sure.
like that.
Did you call a doctor?
I did not,
per se.
Well, we're taking the calls right now. You should have gone to the doctor earlier and didn't, and bad things happen. Let's go to Norman. He's up first. He's on line 6 from La Puente here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Norman. What happened to you?
How's it going, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Going well for all of us but Bean. Go ahead.
So I scraped my leg playing baseball and didn't head to the doc until my leg was about 3 times its normal size.
Oh, no.
Wow.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I just thought it'd get better, you know, and it didn't. It continuously got bigger and bigger. And by the time I got to the doc, they said, yeah, we're going to try to give you this antibiotic that's probably going to kill your liver, and you might still have to get your leg chopped off.
Oh.
And how did it work out for you?
The antibiotics actually kicked in pretty quickly. I was discharged about a day and a half later and didn't miss a baseball game. I was back out there again a couple of days later playing.
See? He's fine, you guys.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Gordon. Glad it worked out for you.
Nancy's up next. She is on line 8, and she's from Lancaster. Hi, Nancy.
Hi there.
What was your ailment, and how long did you wait?
It was actually my boyfriend. He was sick, and he did the whole thing, I'll get better. His mother finally took him to the emergency room. He was intubated for 6 days. He was in the ICU for 12 days.
Oh, my God.
Liver failing, kidney failing, stuff going on in his blood, lost blood platelets. I finally kept insisting to look in his mouth. It was a tooth infection that he's had for a very long time. I got into his bloodstream and almost killed him.
A tooth infection almost killed him.
Holy
now, do you want to hear the best part? I work in a dental office.
Oh, sweet.
So had he gone to the doctor when the tooth first started hurting, it would have been dealt with at the time, and all of this would have been avoided.
It would have been avoided, yes.
How about that?
All right.
Unbelievable.
There you go, Bean.
I'm not learning anything from this.
Good luck with that.
Angel writes in, so I was sick. I had a high fever of 103. Family would tell me to get to the doctor. I ignored it. Said I would just get better. Well, when I started having trouble breathing and felt out of breath walking 20 steps at home, we went to the hospital. I ended up being diagnosed with the swine flu.
All right.
Which was a big thing back in 2010. My lungs ended up filling up with liquid with oxygen on full power. I was coughing out loogies with blood. Was in the hospital for 4 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Maybe now I should listen to people, and so should you, Bean. Hi, Lisa. Ding, ding. That says Angel. How about Tiffany? She's on line 1. She's from Downey.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What was wrong with you? How long did you wait?
So it was actually my boyfriend.
No, it's always the boyfriend.
Guys,
and
it's guys.
It is guys.
He did not want to listen. He said his butt hurt and he was in a lot of pain.
If I could just say in his defense, that's an embarrassing thing to go to the doctor for.
Well, finally.
If I went to the doctor every time I woke up and my butt hurt, though. Come on, I'd be there all the time.
I convinced him to go to the hospital because he couldn't take the pain. He had fever, and he had an anal cyst, and they had to get a horse needle to numb it, shove it up his butt cheek, and he said it was the worst pain ever, and he could have just taken antibiotics for it, and they had to cut it open. Yeah.
What causes an anal cyst?
The doctor said it could happen to anyone, but if you get it treated right away, then it'd be fine. But of course, you know, guys always wait too long.
Guys are dumb.
So,
Bean.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Tiff. We appreciate that. Let's do one more. We actually have a doctor on the phone, you guys. She works at Children's Hospital of Orange County. Oh. Dr. Adler, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hello.
So it must be driving you crazy. You're pulling your hair out listening to these stories, right?
Yeah, I think it's good if you go to the doctor after you've been sick about 3 days, especially if you're having fever, Bean, you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been telling him, but how's that been working out?
But am I wrong that sometimes it's just the flu and you feel crappy for a few days and then you get better and then it's just a whole big harangue to go to the doctor?
But you've also got a bladder infection.
What's
right?
That?
He has a bladder infection.
I do.
But, you know, you need to be careful. You only have one kidney now.
I know.
Or don't be careful, depending on whether you like him.
I hear that you're going to Weenie Roost tomorrow.
I am. Should I bring my stethoscope?
Yes, you should.
And all your drugs.
Would you like to examine me?
I would be happy to be.
No, you don't want to work at Weenie Roast.
Now we're talking.
That's on him that he's not going to the doctor. You don't need to save him.
Just
well, I would be willing to trade working at the Weenie Roast for pit tickets.
Bring some broad spectrum antibiotics and we'll talk, Doc. Thanks so much for the call.
Stream that album in its entirety, The Black Keys, the new one at krock.com if you'd like. It's a pretty good album.
Yeah.
These guys are great.
It's a super good album. I love the psychedelic music anyway. I love that they got a bunch of that on this record. Hey, welcome to the Kevin Avicii here for a Wednesday. He is number 8 for the Los Angeles Kings and Kevin, number 1 in your heart. Mr. Drew Doughty joins us next hour talking about the playoffs against the Ducks. Also, actor Seth Rogen. First, though, listen to this and find out what the World Speed Project is all about.
My name is Ryan Bites. I'm chairman of the World Speed Project, and I collect all the VHS copies of the movie Speed. The World Speed Project started in 2006. I was like, these things are everywhere. I'm just going to start collecting all of them. So I went into this, like, Pawn One, and I asked them, how many copies of Speed do you have? Because I'll buy all of them. And that's when it all started.
Okay. Now, we all have to have dreams, right?
Sure.
Yes. Where are you going?
Try to poop on Ryan's dream here. I'm 1,000% behind Ryan.
How does Ryan believe that once he accomplishes buying all the VHS copies of the 1994 movie Speed...
Okay.
...gets him anywhere? Like, what then?
Yeah.
Why don't we find out? Ryan's on the phone right now. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Don't listen to Kevin. He's a hater.
Oh, wait. Let me just ask a question. Why?
You know, that's obviously the first question everybody asks. But you have to realize when you ask why, you assume there's a purpose. And the World Speed Project is an exercise in radical uselessness.
I do
Kevin,
that every day.
You have
day.
To get behind that.
I do. That's my life.
Radical uselessness, that's what you're all about. So it started at Christmas one year, as I understand. You're living in Seattle. You're super broke. You're Christmas shopping. How did you find your way to a bunch of copies of Speed?
Like the video says, I was in a pawn shop, and they had, it's funny, they had like 6 copies of Speed, like 10 copies of Jurassic Park, probably 10 copies of Jerry Maguire also, and I only picked Speed because it was the only rated R movie my parents would let us watch as a kid.
Okay, so that movie holds a special place in your heart.
Precisely. It was the first movie I was allowed to watch that had a lot of swearing in it.
Okay. All right, so you bought all 6 copies to distribute as Christmas gifts, and then a light bulb went off over your head that you thought, hey, this is pretty cool to have so many copies of one movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I just started laying them in pseudo-ritualistic fashion and putting candles around them and laying with them. I feel like the spirit of Keanu came right inside me.
You're certifiably crazy. Yes
that
or no?
That might be true.
Okay.
Might be true. All right, so you had the 6, and then how long did it take you before you started adding to your collection, Ryan?
You know, yeah, I got the 6, and then I think I, like, bought a couple more, and I just thought it was, like, kind of funny. And then I was in another pawn shop. There's a lot of pawn shops in Seattle. I just went into another one, and they had, like, 4 or 5 on the shelf. And I went up to the guy at the counter, and I said, I'll buy every single copy you have. Like, do you have any more in the back? And he just brings out stacks of them that are, like, saran-wrapped together. And he says they're, like, basically trash around there. And so he sells me, like, 30 copies right there for, like, I don't know, like $10. It was insane.
Okay. Now you're off and running. by the way, in the interest of accuracy and our good friend Macklemore, really there are more thrift shops than there are pawn shops here.
Yeah, you know, that might be true. But if you go along Aurora in Seattle, which is the old highway that took you to Vancouver, B.C., it's nothing but pawn shops.
Oh, don't I know, man. That's right. the dead hooker highway. Don't I know? All right,
exactly,
so now you got yourself a little bit of a collection. And when did it start to get crazy? Like, look, it's one thing to have 30. I mean, that's bizarre enough. But then when you get to be 100 and 200 and 300, at this point, it's far beyond just thrift shops at this point. You got to be buying them online from all over the world, right?
Right, exactly. And there's a humorous, like, inverse relationship that occurs. Like, the more copies you get, the less fascinating it is, because I've already had hundreds of copies laying around. I'm so numb to it that a new one is so, like, it's so, like, normal for me to just have somebody, like, drop off 10 copies. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, thanks, throw them in the pile, you know.
Yeah, and we noticed that on your video for Kickstarter, that you just really just toss them. Like,
yeah,
the box
is full of them, yeah.
Like, there's just nothing. It's like it's trash.
So there's
I guess the film being trash is like a nice metaphor, and me being like a trash collector is an even better one. I don't think anybody said that yet, but I really like that image.
I think so. I totally get what you're going for. And there's no target here. There's no goal. It's not like when I get to 1,000, I'm done, or 10,000, whatever it is. You just plan to just keep going as far as you can, right?
Not even as far as I can. I need every single copy.
All right. Do you have a lot of people just mailing them to you? Because you do have an address in Pullman, Washington, where people can send you videos. Are people doing that?
Yeah. In fact, my mom said the other day that I got something like 20 packages in the mail, much to the dismay of my stepfather. So I think it's going well.
Beer mug.
Sounds like you don't want to be alone.
Copy you have for Ryan?
I do.
Are you going to send it to him?
I don't know.
It's He's going to wait until it's the last one and then command a huge price.
This is what I tell everybody who threatens to hold out. You'll die one day, and then I'll have my copy.
Ryan, what's the Kickstarter all about? What are you trying to raise money for? What is Project 2525?
So I bought a 15-passenger Dodge minibus, like a big Dodge van that got converted into like a shuttle bus for like an outpatient clinic. And the bus is a bit of a lemon. It overheats in 90-plus degree weather. But that's because I need some new fuel pump for it. And the bus also needs to be painted like the bus in the movie Speed. So that way when I come to your town, to Los Angeles, I will, you know, you'll see who's coming. I'll arrive in style.
So you're going to tour the collection, basically, once you get the van up and running.
Right, yeah, that's phase two of the project. And, you know, it's weird. I've gotten emails from, like, modern art galleries, like the Philadelphia, like, Mausoleum of Contemporary Art. Emailed me and said they'd give me a gallery show. So it's like things are lining up, you know.
That's fantastic. Have you gotten any reaction from any of the players involved in making or acting in the movie?
No, you know, Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock's, like, personal celebrity pages on Facebook have liked the World Speed Project on Facebook. So I don't know if that means that they are aware of the project or if one of their, you know, digital media interns clicked like for them.
Right.
But also, the screenwriter Graham Yost commented to Entertainment Weekly that besides stopping war and ending world hunger, that the World Speed Project is the most important thing a person could do.
Well, I think that's true.
Come on, right there.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah, I understand the spirit of the project.
I want to go back to something you said, if you don't mind. The more you get, the less you care about them. So really, by design, by the time you get them all, you're not going to have any interest in it.
Yeah, it might be something like E equals MC squared, you know, like the closer I get to having all of them, like my physical form will just disappear.
I think that's likely, right.
Now, I looked again in your Kickstarter, like you're only trying to raise like $2,500 or something, right? And that's mainly to fix up the van?
Yeah, I'm not especially greedy, but if people want to give me $10,000, there's a reward on the Kickstarter that me and that person will drive to your fair city and try to find Keanu and get a photo with him.
That sounds like a pretty awesome road trip right there. Look, I support dreamers. I don't know where Kevin's coming from here. I think you are doing the Lord's work, Ryan, and I wish you nothing but success, my friend.
Thank you.
When you drive that bus through Los Angeles looking for Keanu, can you go under 50 miles an hour?
I will try not to.
Okay.
If I get pulled over, I'm going to have to keep going, and so you'll probably see me on the news.
Now I support you.
All right, you can go to Kickstarter and just do a search for the World Speed Project, and that'll bring you to Ryan's page. Good luck with it, Ryan. We'll definitely keep following the story and see how it goes for you. We appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Anything else to say?
I don't think I have anything too exciting.
All right,
to say,
great.
But
thank you, Ryan.
Copies or I'm coming after you.
All right. You hang up first, and then we'll move on.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
Oh,
that was
wow,
very
Kevin.
Mature, Kevin. Very safe.
Very
I like
careful.
It.
Is he gone? Am I good now?
Yep.
It sounds like he's gone.
All right.
Hey, party people. Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. I promised you Offspring tickets. I'm giving you Offspring tickets. They're playing July 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. Plus, K-Rock is throwing in a meet and greet with the band. If you love the Offspring and want to go, you're going to have to earn those tickets. We'll give you a chance to play a game. You can call right now, though, at 1-800-520-1067 to win from K-Rock. Well, it's almost that time of year, Lisa.
Yes. It's time for Dodger baseball.
Dodgers in town this weekend. They've already played two games in Australia, as curious as that is. The Angels are getting ready to kick off their season. It's baseball time. And there's an argument that goes every year around this time, which is, hey, baseball, speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, it takes forever.
It is. I will say, and I'm a baseball fan and have been my whole life, and it's not a question of a bunch of scoring, because I have been to 1-0 games that have been some of the most exciting, great games I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. But when games get to be 3 hours, 3 hours and 15 minutes, 3 hours and 20 minutes,
yeah,
it does start to drag. And that's and look, a lot of people are standing up and going, look, baseball is losing popularity. Basketball is popular. Football is the most popular sport in the world. If baseball wants to engage younger people in particular, they're going to have to speed it up. One of the people who's saying that, by the way, is the president of the Miami Marlins. This is a guy who's running a Major League Baseball team. He's in the sport. He owns a team. And he's saying, hey, the game needs to be sped up. It just takes too long for people to get up to the plate. It takes too long for people to change when they change pitchers. Speed up the game. I don't know what kind of plans he has, but we wanted to find out more about this because, if this goes into effect and it works for them with attendance or TV ratings or something like that, believe me, you'll start to see this all around the league. Miami Marlins team president David Sampson on the line with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Mr. Sampson, thanks so much for carving out some time for us today, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So I summed it up for our listeners that you are one of the outspoken critics against how long it takes to play the average Major League Baseball game right now.
Oh, God, yes. God, this game just sucks.
What?
Well, wait, you're the president of the Marlins. You love baseball. You're just saying it could be improved by being faster.
Easy with the love baseball thing. Okay, I'm a businessman. I tried to buy a football team. Couldn't. Tried to buy a hockey team. Couldn't. Tried to buy a basketball team. Couldn't. The only thing I had available was baseball. So let these off on the love baseball thing, okay? I wanted to be a sports owner. It's the only one I could get. Nobody wants to own a baseball team. You know why? The game takes forever to play. Forever. Oh, sweet Jesus. You can watch your fingernails grow sitting there in that park. I don't understand what you people love about this game.
Well, it's a great game, and it's a tradition, and it's something we've all grown up with and enjoy. All right, so you say, and I want some clarification on this quote. You're talking about picking up the pace of the game. You say, when a player dawdles at the plate or on the mound or entering a game from the bullpen, the matter will be addressed. Now, what do you have in mind? Are you talking about putting a stopwatch on your guys?
No, I'm talking about putting a gun on those guys. Putting a rifle, a hunting rifle on those guys. You start to kick the dirt out of your cleats. You start to scratch. You start to fix your helmet and your gloves, or whatever. Then you see a red dot. You get like one of those red laser dots on your chest. You look down. You see that. You know, hey, come on, let's go. Move it along. Move it along.
I don't think you could actually pick off players from your booth during the game.
I don't want to pick off players, but get the goddamn game going. That'll fix them. That'll get them moving along. I think that's an excellent idea. Too much time spitting and scratching. It's a goddamn game. Play it.
Now, are you talking about perhaps fining the players? A lot of time a financial incentive will get people to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do.
No, I'm talking about napalm. I'm talking
okay.
about setting them on fire if they don't hurry up. I mean, these guys, they don't understand money. They all got a ton of money. They're all spending on hookers and steroids. They don't care. What you need is to put them in physical harm's way.
All right, how long would you like to see a baseball game go? Let's say the average now is, 2:55, I think is what it is for your team last year. 2 hours and 55 minutes. What would you like to see that come down to, Mr. President?
45 minutes, an hour tops.
An hour?
Yeah. Here's my plan. Here's how we're going to move the game along. First of all, you now make the head part of the strike zone.
Okay.
No, you can't do that.
You take away those helmets, these pussies wearing these helmets while they're batting. The
it's
new
so
rules.
They...
Three strikes, you're out, or one knockout, and you're out, okay?
Okay. You're going to have a lot of guys with brain damage, though.
Uh-huh. And your point is? Also, bigger bat and ball. Oh, my God. It's so hard to hit those little balls with the skinny bats. a bigger ball and a bigger bat, you get a lot more hitting.
So you just want it to be T-ball, basically. Every man who gets up at the plate hits the ball.
No, T-ball. Don't be ridiculous. But a pitching machine. Now, that's an idea. How much time does a pitcher take in between each pitch? Oh, look at this guy. Oh, let me look at that guy. Oh, what's the weather today? Who's in the stands? What? Oh, I'd like a bag of peanuts. Throw the ball! Throw the damn ball! If you got a machine, you know those pitching machines? Boom! 45 minutes, we all go home. Say, what else do we need? Too many goddamn bases in this game. Too many bases. Oh, let me run to first base, second base, third base. One base. One base.
That doesn't make any sense that every hit would be a home run.
You got a home plate, and you got one base on the other side of the field. In between you and that base is the pitcher. And the pitcher gets to hit you with a baseball bat if you try to run past him.
This is completely different.
You run
to
that
base,
and then you run back home again. Boom. One run. Let's go home.
I have to say, Mr. President, it would not be baseball, but I think I would still watch.
Did I mention setting people on fire?
No.
Yes, you did.
One of our very favorite comedian and actors from Hot Tub Time Machine and The Office, Craig Robinson, joins us in a half an hour or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's going to be on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and he's got his own TV show slated for NBC. So we'll catch up with Craig coming up. First, though, the human body is a miracle. The fact that it works at all and lasts, you know, for decades is astonishing to me.
Or but doesn't work.
But sometimes it just fails
you.
As I described on the show yesterday, if you weren't with us, I had an injury on vacation where I hopped out of bed to answer the door. I was staying at a relative's house, and I opened up the door and then just fainted, just fell backwards, fainted, hit my head on the radiator. And fortunately, that could have been a lot worse, but a bedside table broke my fall, and I ended up breaking three ribs.
We could have had an actual Bean's Death Corner had that gone
worse.
You
sure could have. Absolutely. Hey, look. As much as this hurts and as much as this will hurt for the next couple months, every single day I'm walking around going, thank God I hit my ribs on that bedside table. Can you imagine the full force of hitting your head against an iron radiator?
Man, my prayers so much worse. Almost answered.
So Kevin is fascinated with people who get hurt in stupid ways. I don't know why this brings you such joy. Has it ever happened to you, by the way,
Kevin? Of course. I hurt myself all the time doing stupid stuff. That's why I like it.
I remember your going down the stairs story. That always
cracks me up. That wasn't going down the stairs. That was going up the stairs.
Oh, even better.
I was running up the stairs with my hands in my coat pockets because it was a little bit cold, and I tripped going up the stairs, and I couldn't get my hands out to break my fall, so my nose hit the thing.
Oh, God.
Hit the stair and just broke completely sideways and started bleeding immediately. I do that stuff all the time, and it cracks me up because, really, there's nothing better than lame ways you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Getting out of bed and answering the door. I mean, for God's sakes, make up a story.
By the way,
you got mugged. You got run into. Give me something here.
You know what's really funny about that? And we do want to take your calls. It's been a while since we've done this, but we do want to hear from you. If you hurt yourself, the more seriously, the better, in the lamest possible way, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. What's crazy about how injured I got getting out of bed on the 26th of December is that on the 24th of December, I went ice skating for the first time ever.
Why would you do that?
Thought it would be fun. I thought it would be something.
You never do stuff that you think will be fun. What have you done with Bean?
Look, we were going to be in London at the holidays, and they have ice skating available. You know, they have a rink down there by the Natural History Museum, and you can sign up and go out there and skate for 45 minutes. And, you know, I thought it would be something that would be kind of fun for the holidays for us to do. I was terrified of that.
You should
have
been.
I was awful at it, by the way.
Of course.
But I never even fell down. Not one time did I fall down.
Bean, listen to me. This is very important. Tell that story. With the broken ribs, tell the story.
Say I was ice skating.
A little kid started to fall. You saw it.
And I saved his life.
Right, but in the process broke three ribs. And now people are like, yeah, all right, that guy's got something going on. Getting out of bed.
That's a much better story. So I really was concerned because I won't admit that I'm accident prone.
You are accident prone.
It certainly was possible that I could get hurt ice skating. I really was concerned about falling while I was out there on the ice. And miraculously, I never fell. And I walked away from that going, well, I'm golden. Nothing bad could ever happen to me now.
To get out of bed.
And then 2 days later, bah, bah, bah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take, do we have time? Can we squeeze in Monica just to kind of get us started? She's online too. We'll do her first. And by the way, Paul Lee writes in, frequent Kevin to be listener Paul Lee writes in, I once majorly threw my neck out making a cartoon noise to amuse my two-year-old. It wrecked my neck for weeks. I couldn't turn my head, and I had to walk around like Batman.
Monica, hi.
Hi. Really embarrassing, but one time I threw out my back really bad, having to wear a back brace just blow-drying my hair.
Wait, really? You ended up having to wear a back brace because you were blow-drying your hair?
Yeah.
How? Did you fall or what?
What happened?
No, I, you know, you're a girl. I'm a girl with long hair, and I was blow-drying it, and I just, like...
Well, don't tell me, Monica. Do not tell me that you whipped your hair back and forth.
I sure did. Something like that, but it was a
whole
week, and it was really embarrassing, and I couldn't make up a full story.
Oh, my God.
I have another one. Over the summer, I had some back pain. I went to a chiropractor. Told me to ice my back. I went home and had a glass of wine and put the ice pack on my back and it slipped from underneath the towel, and I ended up with second-degree burns on my back.
Oh my God. See, this is you. This is
Monica.
I mean, sometimes it's dumb luck, but
I know
this is you.
You know, your friends are going to say the same thing to you that mine say to me, which is that you need to be bubble wrapped
That's
to
correct.
Be saved from yourself,
That's
I think.
Right.
All right, Monica, thank you so much for the call, my dear. Jacob, you hold on. Josh as well, 1-800-520-1067. What's the lame thing that you were doing that somehow got you hurt? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Taking calls on the dumb thing you did that got you hurt, and we're discovering that all of our listeners have been hurt in one time or another doing something silly. Raul writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean, I once threw a rock at a wasp nest. The wasps started flying toward me, so I turned to run. I tripped on my shoelace and fell. My hands broke my fall, and my finger bent all the way back during the fall. My finger swelled to the size of a hamburger helper hand, and yes, I also got stung while I was on the ground writhing in pain. So that's a 1-2 punch of getting hurt. Let's go to Jacob. He's on the line now at 1-800-520-1067. He is on line one.
Hey, Jacob.
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
You hurt yourself in a stupid way. Tell us.
Oh, yeah. It was really good. So 2 years ago on a cruise ship with all my buddies, dancing on the dance floor, doing the Carlton next to a girl, and trying to impress her with my white man dance moves.
Sure.
And she has a drink in her hand, drops the drink. I slip on the drink. I do the splits.
Oh.
And I completely tore out my whole hamstring muscle out of my left hip bone.
Oh, my.
And the best thing about this is my costume was a Superman costume with a red Speedo and a Superman shirt when I did this.
Was it at least the Halloween party where you were doing the Carlton?
It was the club on the cruise ship, and it was a Halloween party, and I literally tore it out so bad that I couldn't walk or anything.
You said that you were there with your friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee there's a photo, and I guarantee it needs to be sent to Kevin and Bean.
I will send it. I have photos. I will absolutely send them.
Please
do. The next day, my whole hamstring was black and blue, and I had to have I had serious surgery. I have a 6-inch scar under my left butt cheek now because I had to go in and drill holes into my head to reattach the muscle and everything.
Wow. Sweet.
Wow.
Look, sometimes doing the Carlton really does hurt.
Exactly. Thank you for the call, Jacob. We appreciate it. Let's go to Josh. He's up next. He's on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Josh.
Hey. I was at the Four Seasons for a romantic little occasion with the wife. We hopped out of the hot tub. And went to take a leak. Next thing you know, I felt like I was going to pass out, and
You get a little lightheaded in the jacuzzi, in the hot tub.
Oh, man, I woke up with, like, 8 paramedics all around me, blood everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And naked. Thank God my wife put a little towel over me.
Really? A washcloth, a small one.
What did you injure? Did you hit anything on the way down?
The marble floor with my forehead, my nose, and the rest of my face.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Broke your nose?
Broke my nose, had a concussion, spent 5 hours in the hospital. Needless to say, the romance didn't happen that day.
Yeah, I'm guessing not.
Yeah, that's a lovemake killing. Right, thank you.
Noses go quickly. They're the first thing, nothing. You barely breathe on them and they break.
From Pam, who writes into the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, I yawned and sprained my jaw, was on a liquid diet for 3 weeks after. Hey,
how about a little more exercising that jaw?
Paula,
you know what I'm saying?
Hear
me,
no,
Bean?
I don't.
Paula,
Bean,
you understand what I'm saying?
I got it.
Exercising
yes,
the jaw.
Paula went to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. While carrying a laundry basket, I tripped and dislocated my knee, and on my fall toward the ground, my face hit every shelf on my daughter's open dresser drawers.
God.
Boom, 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 boom.
Awesome.
Is that something? Wow. All right. Let's go to Sarah. Sarah is my girl. She's on line four. Now, remember, the whole reason we're doing this topic is because I broke three ribs getting out of bed.
Saving a kid on the ice skating rink.
Sarah, you were also just getting out of bed, right?
It's all I wanted to do, really. It's just get out of bed.
All right, what happened?
Now, wait a minute. Bean was answering the door, so he sort of probably got up quicker than he would have. Same for you or no?
I had missed an alarm
okay.
to work, so I had kind of jumped out of bed and didn't realize that I guess both of my legs were asleep, like all the way up to my cooch. Didn't realize, so I kind of got up in a hurry and like did one of those frontward falls on jelly legs, like when you're running too fast down a hill or something.
Love it. Right.
All the way across my room trying to like catch myself, but just my legs weren't working.
Yeah, once that starts, once that that forward motion starts, there's no stopping
it. Yeah, there's no stopping it. Ended up hitting my head on my desk, kind of knocking myself out, twisted my knee and my ankle, and kind of came to and had to, I couldn't move. I couldn't go to work, couldn't move. Kind of crawled back to my bed and had to email my work, my boss, and kind of describe what had happened. I kept that email forever just because it's so ridiculous.
I think we need to see that email as well.
USA! USA! USA!
Ralph, did you have any stories at all of being injured?
No.
In a dumb way?
No?
Nope.
What? Thought it happened to everyone.
Who's not hurt themselves in a dumb way, especially a drinker?
I'm trying to think. Well, I don't do things when I'm drinking. I'm
Why?
Wise.
Who's wise when they drink?
Wait.
That's the opposite.
You jumped off a balcony and could barely walk.
I fell off a balcony.
Okay.
That's not stupid. That's just an accident.
Oh. Really? Because I've never fallen off a balcony.
Well, don't sit on a balcony.
Okay, that's stupid.
All right, that's
stupid.
I sit on balcony railings all the time.
Oh, that's dumb.
That's not dumb.
But even that, it seems like I have 20 stories like this.
That's not like a dumb falling from a first floor balcony. That's a legitimate way to get hurt. It's not like, I was chasing a centipede and I banged my head on a bee's nest.
That was one of mine.
That would be dumb.
That happened to me too.
Falling off a balcony is a real accident. It's an actual accident.
Actor Craig Robinson joins us after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat Freak. Tuesday, what's going on?
I've hurt myself doing things that dangerous things.
Right, but that's not the same.
I was cutting a cardboard box down with a box cutter once.
Yeah, no, that's
and the
not.
Box cutter slipped and opened up my forearm, but that's not stupid.
Stupid,
it's just
lame. Yeah,
it's just a bad accident.
Right,
but I can't think of anything really dumb I've done. I wasn't doing the Carlton in a Superman costume. No, I wasn't doing that.
It's hard to beat that one.
It is.
Every time I've been doing the Carlton in a Superman costume, I've been hurt though. Every single time.
Well, that guy said he would send a photo, so we'll put it up if we can.
You should rethink that particular move. Get to the Running Man, the Cabbage Patch.
Right.
Move on.
Six point seven K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 7. They, of course, are playing the K Rock Winnie Rose 2014. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You have to be a K Rock Street Team member. Go to krock.com, sign up. You'll get a password. Then you can buy those tickets on Friday.
And let me tell you something about our friends Fitz and the Tantrums, too. Not only are they amazing live, but you'll be surprised how many great songs they have that you know.
Yeah, true.
We've been playing a lot of Fitz and the Tantrums songs over the past few years, and I love every one of them, so I'm very excited about seeing them again on May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. I'm not comparing what happened yesterday, Kevin, to 9/11.
But you shouldn't. That's absurd.
But I will say that there is a loss of innocence. There is, you do wish you could turn back the hands of time and go back before an awful thing happened. I mean, this time yesterday, just yesterday morning, just 24 hours ago, right now, it was before the tragedy of BKHUPM, as the kids call it now, before Kevin hung up on Paul McCartney. Because the world was a different place. It was a nicer place. It was a sweeter place. It was a place with more respect. It was before Kevin hung up on a Beatle. And I wish we could go back to that time, but unfortunately it happened, and we just have to kind of live with the consequences of it.
How do you wish we could go back to that time before me, more than me?
Just because
I think it's the case.
It probably is just because it's so painful. As a guy who has grown up idolizing Paul McCartney, and what a thrill and what an honor it was to have the man on our show yesterday.
But he was saying goodbye.
Right, but still, look, he heard the click, Kevin. He knew he was hung up on. And I think that's what, I mean, that's the how undignified that is, that we hung up on a Beatle, and he knows that. We're now the a-hole Americans who hung up on him while he was, out of the goodness of his heart, giving us his time.
And you know what happened?
You're assuming that.
Like that last moment, that's the only thing that sticks with you.
That's right.
What, however
Lisa, you're
good,
just making this work
well,
just because it's fun.
It's true. That might be the case.
But you're absolutely right. Look, you don't remember the tremendous meal you had when you find a bug in your dessert. That's all you remember is that it got spoiled at the end because there was a bug in your food.
All right, is this 9/11 or bug in your food? And those are two very different things. I'm saying it's a little bit of everything.
Come on.
For folks who weren't listening yesterday, they got spared, man. They're lucky they didn't have to hear this, but we're going to force it on you anyway. Here's the end of the call as we're wrapping up a very, I thought, entertaining and candid interview with Mr. McCartney. We do have it up at krock.com if you want to hear the whole thing. And things were going pretty well until the end when Kevin decided, oh, wait, I forgot I hate the Beatles, so I'm going to hang up on this jerk. I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops.
Well, he was saying goodbye. He's saying see you guys.
And then
at which point I thought that is a goodbye. Mm-hmm. See you guys. A lot of people would hang up after see you guys.
A lot of people would just wait.
Right, like what was the rush? There was no rush. I just thought he was finished.
Kevin, I think I can't believe he's generous enough to be back on the phone, but I think we have an opportunity for you to make good.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
And at least apologize if that's what Mr. McCartney asked. And he joins us back on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Sir Paul.
Well, good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're good.
Can't thank you enough.
Are you good?
For giving us a second chance.
We're good. Did you hear me hang up on you yesterday, or was this a surprise?
Of course I had you hanging up on me.
Well, I didn't know if you were already hanging up. You say goodbye, you take the phone away from
you. I was already hanging up when I was talking. You thought I would hang up on myself.
No, but you were saying goodbye, which is a very short word, and then I imagine
I wasn't saying goodbye at all.
But it sounded like you were saying goodbye, because you said see ya.
Play it again.
You already said see you. Okay, I'll play it again. It's,
well, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
So you said, see you guys. Bye.
So seeing you guys. Bye. Ying you all a yacht would be a good idea.
Oh, that
is not possible.
Well, I know what I said.
So we missed out on a
see
yacht
you guys,
because.
And buying you all a yacht would be a good idea.
That would have been so much better.
I was going to get each of you a yacht.
Is it too late for the yacht?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I would think so. Because no one likes to be hung up on.
I didn't mean to hang up on you. Hello? Did he hang up?
Yeah, how's that sound?
it felt pretty
feel good, does it?
It felt pretty bad, yeah, actually. Hello?
All right, I didn't do it that time okay. either, but now you know what it feels like.
Right, but Kevin, look, you have a golden opportunity here to make things right. Just apologize to the man. Just tell him it was a mistake.
It was a mistake. Mm-hmm. I apologize, Sir Paul. I thought when you said see ya, that was the goodbye, and so then I was going to hang up.
So you couldn't give me 20 extra seconds?
Well, apparently not.
No, apparently you couldn't.
Yeah. I didn't know you were going to say you're going to buy a seat. A yacht. Wow, that sucks.
He really hung up on you. See,
is
it
he really
hurts,
good?
Right? It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it?
What? Are you still on the phone? It's not like you're
happening.
Up for real.
I'm just trying to teach him a lesson.
Well, I didn't do it on purpose.
Well, he's clearly gone now.
I didn't do it on purpose. He can't possibly think I did it on purpose.
Well, it's just sloppy.
It may have been sloppy, but it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't like I did it on purpose.
It was him. You should be extra careful.
Kevin's an asshole.
What? Now he can take up the phone.
Maria writes, Dear Kevin Avita, you've called the show many times over the years, and I've had Kevin cut me off while I was mid-goodbye several times. It is supremely off-putting each and every time. Believe
well,
when it happened to him. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Maria, for writing in on that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. Thank you for understanding the pain I went through.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, I didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. And if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. Well, I'd still like the yacht. I mean, if that's not asking too much.
Now I'm really gone.
I hate car chases about as much as I hate anything in the world. I think they're stupid and a colossal waste of time.
I got home, turned on my TV, and I was like, woohoo, a car chase. And I watched every precious second.
I would watch an infomercial for douches before I would watch a car chase. So yesterday I wasn't all that impressed when everybody was all, oh my God, it's a car chase. But then it took an interesting twist because a guy ended up on a roof in North Hollywood with what looked like an assault rifle.
Yep. Yeah.
Now you're talking about some actual news that helps the public to broadcast. And now I'm on board with news channels and the police and everybody saying, hey, don't go outside if you're anywhere in this neighborhood because you literally could get killed by a guy with a rifle.
So the guy is on a bunch of different freeways, the 5 and the 110, the 170. Mm-hmm. He was all over the place. And then he got off and he went into a neighborhood. He parked his car and got out with his assault rifle and ran.
Yeah.
Now, did that end up being his house? Is that where he went? He drove home and he's on his own roof?
I didn't hear. But I mean, imagine. Wouldn't you think? I mean, it just seems
odd. We didn't hear about any hostages.
But he's on the roof and he's walking back and forth like he's just waiting for action with his assault rifle. And I kept laughing to myself because I kept picturing Bean in all of his gawkiness, just taking a nice little stroll right through that. You know what I saw? A guy got out of his car with an assault rifle, and people scattered like mice.
Yes.
I mean, they were running from the scene because there's a crazy
Understandably.
Man.
Yeah, of course. Especially these days where every 2 or 3 days there's another guy who goes crazy with a gun and shoots a bunch of people.
Right. So luckily he didn't shoot anyone.
Right.
But I did picture this story because Bean told us this yesterday. He is not worried at all walking through a scene like that.
Look, if I saw a guy out on the street waving an assault rifle around, I'm scrambling like mice, too. The situation that I described to you was not that, though.
What was it?
I went to IHOP on Friday, and I parked about 2 blocks away. This was in downtown Seattle. And I was walking from the IHOP back to my car. And there were half a dozen police cars, about a dozen Seattle police officers with riot gear on, basically, with the bulletproof vests. And
wow.
Some of them had the thing over their face and everything like that. And they had their guns and rifles drawn. And they were covering both entrances to a building that was about half a block or so from the IHOP. So I saw, and I had no idea, of course, what it was, but I saw all these police officers all, around the door, looking like there was going to be a shootout, but I had to walk right past them to get to my car on the other side of the street.
Okay, but there's no way to go around the block or take any other direction. It's just you have to walk that way.
That's a long way.
But I'm saying, how is that different from this? The cops had to...
Because there wasn't a guy in the street waving a gun around like he was looking to shoot somebody. Whoever the police were after, and it turned out to be a guy with a gun, was inside the building. Shots had been fired.
By the way, that was the second half of yesterday. The second half of yesterday is he came down from the roof and went inside the residence.
Yeah,
and
the guy yesterday seemed a little bit crazier.
Oh, really?
Than my guy.
You don't know your guy.
I didn't see my guy. You're right. I didn't see my guy. But the guy yesterday, you could look at him and see he was crazy.
Sure. What did your wife say when she found out that you walked right past a scene within a block of cops in riot gear?
Oh, I was, I was 25 feet. I was directly on the opposite side of the street from the doorway that they were all crowded around. So he was on the inside, and it occurred to me, I did think about it. I didn't just blindly just walk past. I thought,
that's worse.
I thought, what are the chances that the guy inside, who's now in a building surrounded by police, is going to start firing? And if he does start firing, what are the chances that that bullet is going to go from his side of the street and hit me in the 1 second that I'm walking past his building?
But you would have deserved it. If it happened. No, I'm saying, because if it happened, you had every warning from cops with a standoff to the guns drawn to the riot police pointing a gun right across the street from where you were. Had it happened, it would have been all on you. Correct.
I agree with that, I guess. But look,
what kind of decision-making is that?
You didn't know how many people were in that place with guns.
Yeah, you didn't
know the whole gang.
You're right. There could have been a lot. But nobody, look, if bullets had been flying, I wouldn't have gone that way.
Oh, I see. So you just wait until the bullets fly.
No one was shooting, though, is what I'm saying. So what are the chances that the gunfire is going to begin in the 2 seconds that it takes me to walk past this part of the building? Mm-hmm. I feel like the odds were in my favor.
The odds were in your favor. How many cops were there and riot police?
I mean, there were about a dozen, I guess.
Okay, so 12 weapons that you could see.
Right.
Inside the house or the apartment, whatever it was, store. You don't have any idea how many weapons.
No idea, until I heard it on the news later that there was just one guy.
But all the weapons were drawn.
Right.
And the safeties were off.
Right.
I'd say the chance that bullets are going to fly is pretty good. I don't know a single soul who would have made the decision that you made. I think Bean is so used to not being connected to society that he didn't see himself as part of that situation.
I would have gone the long way.
I would go the long way if it was walking through Austin, Texas.
I was wondering about this, and we want to take calls, by the way, if you have ever come across an active crime scene like this or gunfight or something like that where you've been super close to this sort of thing breaking out. But I wondered about this after the fact when I was getting berated by my bride. I wondered if we're just so used to seeing these sorts of things on TV and in the movies that there's some part of our brain that thinks it's not real. Like, I'm not going to get hit because I'm just watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But you didn't think about that. You thought, what are the chances a gunfight's going to break out? What are the chances, if it does, a bullet's going to hit me? You reasoned your way through that.
I
right through the situation.
I attacked the problem from logic rather than from fear. Yes. But haven't you been in a situation like this? Weren't you in a place, an intersection sometime when gunfire broke out, Kevin? You kind of had a similar reaction where you didn't do anything at first, right?
At first.
He was frozen, that's why.
It took me a second to realize what was going on. I was leaving a Laker game, I was sitting at a stoplight, and I heard gunfire. And I looked to my left, and there was a gas station there, and there was a guy shooting his gun in the air like he just didn't care. And it did take me a second to realize, wow, I'm close. But you know what I did, Bean? I stepped on the gas and ran the red light and got myself out of that situation.
Well, I didn't stand across the street and gawk and wait for gunfire. I walked, you know, at a regular pace past them.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go to John real quick, and then we'll take calls from people who you found yourself in a super dangerous situation, and what did you do? John from Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa. How you doing?
Hello. Good.
Okay. Bean, you're a fool.
Well, that's hardly breaking news, John.
Now, John, you're a cop?
Yes, I'm a cop.
All right.
I'm a SWAT cop.
A SWAT cop, okay.
Yes. I've dealt with many situations like the one Bean is describing here.
All right.
You make things so much more difficult for us, Bean, that I'm yelling at you as a proxy for everyone ever done it.
But look, I also thought about that. I was, remember, on the other side of the street. I wasn't
Because bullets can't go that far.
No. I wasn't in any way getting in the police officer's way, impeding them at any point. I walked past them on the other side of the street.
Okay, Bean, let's do some math. Hang on, real quick. Let's do some math. You said a dozen cops, maybe six cop cars for this guy, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's say that very slim chance you were counting on not happening happens and you get hit.
Okay.
Then what do the cops do? They have to go deal with you.
By the way, I saw yesterday's standoff. They spent most of their time trying to warn people and get them out of the area.
Yeah.
So at this point, Bean is just one of the other distractions that the police department had to consider.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm getting at. And everybody listening, please take this heart.
Don't be Bean.
Basically.
Okay. I respect your opinion, John. I'm glad you called. But again,
if people just walk past?
At a normal pace.
John, is that cool?
I'm sorry.
No.
Not cool.
Uncool. No. Okay.
So Bean's suggesting that just because he didn't stop and take pictures, everything was cool. Not the case.
Blanket bit of advice for everybody listening. If you see a cop with his gun out, stay as far away as possible.
I think that's most of our reactions. Except for Bean.
But there's always someone who chooses not to.
I know, the douchebag, right? It's the douchebag factor.
All right, let's not get into that. Thank you, John, for listening. Thank you for calling. All right, where were you when you showed up at something that was super dangerous? It was going down, and what did you do? You run past it? Did you cry like a little girl? What did you do? Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on Comedian, actress Jenny Slate from Parks and Rec and The Kroll Show and the new film Obvious Child joins us next hour here on The Kevin Amin Show. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to Jack White at the Fonda. That's all coming up. But first, taking your calls, have you walked into an active police or crime scene? How did you handle it? Kevin is frankly worried about me that I walked past a potential shootout in Seattle a couple of days ago.
Basically through. I mean, honestly, across the street is not helpful when it comes to a gun.
When it comes to a bullet, I guess bullets do travel. That's right. The one thing we know from TV.
And by the way, just for the record, John the cop who called last break said, Bean, you're a fool.
Right. He did say that. Yeah. That's true. 1-800-520-1067. We've got some great calls here. Let's talk to Jerry. He's on line six. His situation is a little bit different. It sounds like he may have gotten involved somehow in the crime. What's going on here, Jerry? What happened?
Yeah, so my brother and I were driving past the store. Security comes chasing a guy out, I guess, who's shoplifting, whatever, and sheriff's also chasing him. He's on foot. My brother and I tell him, let's go see what's going on. So we chase him around the block. They end up tackling him about maybe 10, 15 feet in front of our car.
Right.
And the cops draw on us thinking, you know, we were with the guy. So.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Because you're running around the block with the police and with the criminal.
Yeah, it was like real-life cops. I was like, hey, let's go see, you know, what's going on. And
how long did it take you to convince them that you were just an observer?
Well, I was, you know, at the time I used to watch cops. I yelled out the one. I said, code 4, code 4. Like, and the guy looked at me confused. He didn't know if I was, you know, what was going on. But, you know, luckily we didn't get shot that day. So.
Yes, very lucky indeed. Thank you for the call. You know, I got the impression from John, the cop who called, and you said this yesterday about the situation in North Hollywood, is they do spend a lot of time trying to keep people away from whatever work they're trying to do, right?
Yeah, I mean within, you know, like a 4-block radius, they try to get everybody just to get out of the way because they don't know how bad it's going to get.
Exactly. Let's talk to Brian. He's in Long Beach. He's at a party, it sounds like, and somehow the police end up being uninvited guests. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa Mary.
Hello.
What happened?
All right, so me and my friend had just got to this party in downtown L.A. The cops were already outside patrolling, just, you know, making sure that the music was down or whatever. As soon as me and my friend go inside, these two guys get into a fight. One of them pulls out a gun and shoots the guy. At the same time, the police hear the commotion. They run inside from one door, and the bouncers inside the party come in from another side. They don't know who's who. They start shooting at each other.
Oh, my God.
A cop gets shot. A bouncer gets shot. One of the guys in the party was already shot, and me and my friend were just on the floor covering our heads.
Like a little girl.
Yeah, of course.
No, well, you did the right getting thing. Getting on the floor and covering your heads may be the right call. There.
No, I know.
I mean, that's a party.
Yeah, and, you know, they ended up commandeering 3 Metro buses to take everybody to jail because a cop got shot. And they don't play when that happens.
No, they do not.
Yeah. And they shouldn't. Yeah, so they just hauled everybody away until they could sort it out, right?
So we were just trying to party on the bus after that.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
So we have to
keep the party going on the police bus.
Moving the party onto wheels. Let's go to Rich, by the way. He's in Thousand Oaks. He's on line 4. Sounds like he was in a similar situation to what I was the other day. You were across the street from what, Rich?
We were across the street from Bank of America.
All right.
And we saw all the police come flying down the street, kind of surround the bank, and we were kind of like moths drawn to the light. It was we had to get closer. Of course, I was a little younger.
You so, had to get closer?
Yes. Yeah, we wanted to see what was really going on.
But were you hiding behind a building or a dumpster or anything?
There was actually about a 3-foot block wall that we were standing behind, and all of a sudden we heard the gunfire. And
oh, my God.
There was a shootout, and we ducked down behind the block wall, and the robbers actually got out of the bank into their cars and took off. and we saw the whole thing, and they just took off and hit the freeway and headed towards Ontario at the time. I was living in Norco.
I wonder what it is about some people who want to run as fast away from a situation like that and others who can't get close enough to see it with their own eyes.
I don't know if it's an adrenaline thing or if it's just, it was something we had to get close to.
It was stupid, right?
Right.
I mean, in 2020 hindsight, it was dumb.
In retrospect, yeah. And what's ironic is both my parents are cops.
are you crazy? You didn't tell them, did you?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we ran up. We had to get closer, Mom and Dad. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's exactly
Thanks for the call. It sounds like our listeners are dumbasses, and there are people. That's what it's. Did we check paperwork? Are these guys legal? Is it cool that they're in here, Kevin? Do we know?
We did not check, and yes, it's cool.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Bastille here at K-Rock this morning. In our studio right now, Dan and Kyle from the band. Welcome to K-Rock, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Have you, how many times have you guys been to America since Bastille's been up and running as a band?
We came earlier in the year and played at South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, we've made some music videos here, but these are our first like headline shows.
So nice.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Texas, coming from England and then finding yourself plopped out in the middle of Austin, Texas? What was that like for you?
Well,
Dusty, okay. That's all of Texas.
And a lot of pulled pork.
Yeah, sure.
I think you probably see a slightly restricted view of Texas if you just see Austin like we did.
So, of course.
We'd like to go back and explore.
And also, we got quite a warped view because it was like full festival open season. So, like, you know, and I was like, wow, Austin's that's pretty cool. Like,
really happening.
Loads of musicians here.
There's
so many bands everywhere.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, it's not like that all the time, unfortunately. Does it seem kind of like for you guys, because you haven't been a band terribly long, right?
About three years.
3 years.
Okay, well, you paid some dues then. But so many big things are happening for you right now. I mean, you probably didn't expect the level of success that you've had out of the gate with your first record. You were telling us right before the song ended there, Dan, that you guys played the Glastonbury Festival. I mean, that's not the type of thing you anticipate doing pretty much as a new band first album, right?
No, not at all. I mean, also, it doesn't help that we're, like, led by me, massively pessimistic and negative about everything.
Are you pessimistic and negative? Really?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does it drive you crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. He drags us down, man.
Does he?
Yeah.
You might need to cut him loose. Although you write a lot of the songs, don't you, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Dan's right. In every interview, he said he always manages to work in. But when I'm working at McDonald's in a year,
right.
Like, why are you convinced that this whole thing is going to crash around you?
I don't know. Probably because it is.
It's just the way you were brought up, the way you learned to look at life?
Maybe. I like to think I'm not that much of a drag to be around. But
it's quite nice, though, because then, like, well, like, so far we've been just constantly surprised and happy.
So low expectations
Equals... No dreams.
Right, and then if you just moderately make it, you go, wow, this is great.
Well, like Glastonbury, I was like, I didn't think we'd ever get booked, so I bought my ticket. Because I wanted to go.
You bought a ticket to go to the festival?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was convinced we weren't going to get booked, so I bought a ticket. And then, you know, we were pleasantly surprised. I got a refund and everything. We
wow.
Got to play.
Did you?
Got a refund.
No way.
How did you go about getting your first record on the radio? Tell me what that was like back home. Like,
you
made a record. Did you get signed to a label right up?
Yeah, so when we started, we released with a little London label, a 7-inch label called Young and Lost. Released a few things with them, and then we signed with Virgin Records. And we spent most of 2011 just touring and making the album, basically. So it was quite nice to have a year to sort of piece together the album in our friend's studio. And we just kept releasing EPs and singles, and each one sort of grew.
Now, when you say touring and making the album, do you do both at the same time, or do you just tour and then come back and work on
the album? Yeah, kind of like a week in the studio.
Because some people will write on the road. You know, whatever, maybe that's their thing. And during sound check, they come up with ideas.
We do sometimes just see Dan sneaking off and, like, singing sort of maniacally into his phone.
Are you sure there's not someone on the other end?
Yeah. Why do you assume I'm recording it? That's me calling my mum.
Right. Now, Dan, are you also convinced every time you write a song that that's it, the well is dry, you'll never write another one?
Yes. Yes, I am, a little bit. Which is... can be quite frustrating. They come in little bursts, so I'll be slightly panicking.
I read
I'm broken, and then suddenly
I read an interview about you writing songs and how you don't write anything autobiographical. That's weird.
Is it?
Yeah, because almost everybody that writes songs, you have to say write what you know. And most of the time it's at least incorporates part of.
I'm sure it does. I think my point was that I'm not looking to write stuff explicitly about my life because I just don't think it's very interesting. So everything is filtered through my brain, and I'm sure informed by stuff that I've done and, you know, experiences that I've had and things I think. But I'd rather position the song as like a slightly more interesting story about something else.
Like Laura Palmer.
Yeah, like Laura Palmer.
That's a strange inspiration. A TV show that was on in the
before I was
1990s.
Yeah,
Twin Peaks.
I watched it on DVD and slightly fell in love with anything to do with David Lynch.
Yeah,
and was writing a song, and the song was sort of about running away from your problems. And I was watching loads of Twin Peaks, and so I don't know, the two sort of fused together.
Have you heard David Lynch's new album?
Yes, we did a remix of one of his songs.
No,
yeah. I know.
How do you remix that?
Literally, my like that's like the ultimate. I could pretty much die now and be happy. My whole world sort of shrunk and black hole together
also,
and exploded.
Also, let's tell the people what you did.
Because we did this remix and they liked it. I don't think we're allowed to announce it yet, so this is probably
go ahead and announce idea. It.
Oh, as in, I'm not allowed to announce that we've done a remix.
Oh, I see. Well, too late for that.
Whoops.
We only have a 4-second delay. You're stuck. All right, so you remixed the David Lynch song. Does it make sense now?
Yeah, we tried to imagine when we did it, because the production's so important in his album, and I think it's all that sort of like 50s, like skewed vibe. And so we tried to imagine it was completely different, and it was like 2001: A Space Odyssey, and like it was David Lynch as Hal talking, and we're sort of floating through space. So it's quite different. But basically, it all led to me being able to go and meet him yesterday.
Really, yeah. To meet David Lynch yesterday?
Yeah.
Wow. Now,
which was like everyone's like, never meet your idols. I was a bit nervous, but he's like the nicest man I've ever met.
That would be a thrill for me too, because I really admire a lot of the stuff he's done, and he's a visionary and he does his own thing. But this album is just crap, right? I mean, it's nonsense, right?
I mean, I think with David Lynch, you just have to bring whatever you expect to the experience, and people will enjoy different. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
You are. Here's a little bit of the new album from David Lynch. So that happened.
I think it's brilliant.
Did you remix that one?
No.
Oh.
I think I'm with Dan, by the way, that not everything is going to hit you full on that David Lynch does.
Right.
But in general, I'm interested in anything he does, whether it's art or his photography or his writing or his movies or his videos. There's something that I can take away and enjoy about every single piece of that. I just am fascinated with him as well.
Remember,
I
completely agree. That
was an amazing song. Did you see the video?
I did see the video.
And it was incredible.
It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's why he's amazing, because, you know, it was from his films to his music. Not everyone's going to love it, but
right.
that's why it's challenging and interesting. And I think, you know, it may not be the album you want to kick back to and, you know, have a barbecue with. But,
yeah, it's not barbecue music necessarily.
We are talking to the band.
Having a barbecue.
We are talking to the band Bastille here on the Kevin Abine Show. Dan and Kyle are in studio. We're going to be hearing some live music from the guys in just a few minutes. So, Dan, you're writing these songs on your laptop, basically at home. Mm-hmm. And then how do you go about putting the band together? Where do you find your mates?
I don't know. I'd done a bunch of songs, and then and I'd always sort of wanted it to be a band. And I knew Woody and Will quite well, because we'd been playing together, been doing music together before. And Kyle was a sort of friend who I kept stopping. Throughout the summer of 2010, we kept bumping into each other at parties, and I kept being like, I was pretty much asking anyone I met who could play an instrument to join the band.
Are you lucky that they turned out to be good?
Yeah. No, I mean, Kyle was amazing, and he was just the one that I pursued the most, I think. You know, I'm sure every morning after a party he'd wake up and be like, I'm sure someone was bugging me about a band or something.
Kyle, did you see Dan coming and just hightail it the other way?
No,
turn and run?
It was sort of like, because
you know, when you're both in that moment at a house party, and you're like, yeah, no, totally, man. I'll definitely be in your band. It'll be wicked. And then we'll do all these things and it'll be great. And then the next morning, you're like, wow, that's just ridiculous. And then after the 10th time, I woke up until like a text message and Dan was like, no, I'm being serious now. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, go on.
It took 10 times before he would text you to say serious.
And let me ask you one more thing before we let you get in the other room. And again, the Bastille, by the way, has a 4-song EP out now, available on iTunes. You can also wait for the long play, which is going to be the first weekend of September, is when Bad Blood, the album from Bastille, is going to be released here in America. You consciously do not have much guitar in your band or on your record, right? Why is that?
Dan can't play guitar, therefore no one's allowed to.
Because I've heard, and I'm no expert, you're the musicians here, I have heard that a guitar is a useful instrument in a band.
Yeah. We've heard that too. And the sort of, ironically, banging on so much about the fact that we don't have any guitars. When we do acoustic sessions like the one we're about to do, we have a guitar. So it's quite embarrassing talking about it so much and then rocking up at radio stations.
But like on the record, there's no electric guitar.
There's only bass guitar on the record. There's literally no acoustic or electric.
What about all the vocals? What about all the harmonies? Do you do that? I guess we'll find out in a minute.
We try. But it's... I mean, it's quite hard to replicate a sort of like...
gang vocal or choir.
Yeah. Room but we do our best. We do our best.
It seems difficult. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Okay. I mean, don't expect a four-piece choir.
All right.
And now I'm nervous.
No pressure at all there, guys.
Don't be. We're happy to have you guys here. We're excited for your success. We love, love, love the record. It is called Bastille. The record is going to be called Bad Blood, again, coming out in about a month or so. And you guys are going to do kind of a stripped-down version of 2 songs from the record, right? We're going to hear Pompeii, which we've been playing here on K-Rock, and then you picked out another one for us too, right?
We have, yeah. We're going to play Bad Blood, which is the sort of title track from the album.
Fantastic. Bastille is here. We'll take a break. And right after this, the guys will play live on the world famous K-Rock.
K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. Bastille is here. They're in the next studio, and they are going to perform live for us. Which song are you going to do first, guys?
We're going to do Pompeii.
Pompeii, the one that we're playing here on K-Rock.
Thanks for playing it.
Of course.
I was left to my own devices. Many days fell away with nothing to show. And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? We were caught up and lost in all of our vices. In your pose as the dust settled around us, and the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this if you close your eyes? Where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? Where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this if you close your eyes? Does it almost feel like?
alright, nothing changed.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounded, Dan, you probably thought that was going to suck, but that was really good.
Thanks, man.
Can I ask you a question about the lyrics?
Yes, you can.
What? I listened to this song, I don't know, 10 times yesterday, trying to figure out, how am I going to be an optimist about this? What are those lyrics?
It's, how am I going to be an optimist?
You're not singing that, though. You know that, right?
How am I going to be?
How am I going to be? Okay, I got it. All right.
The band is called Bastille. By the way, they're going to be making their United States television debut on the Conan show. That's going to be tonight on TBS if you want to see the guys playing live on your TV. They're also playing at the El Rey Theater on September the 18th. How was the Troubadour last night, you guys?
Yeah, it was good, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun.
That's a crazy small place, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was wicked. I mean, it felt very, like, deserving. You know, we're starting from scratch.
Right.
In the States. But
sure.
It was nice. You know, people came.
But
people seem to clap and stuff.
But you're going to be touring with Muse, right?
We did earlier.
Oh, you already did.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. It was.
That must have been frightening.
It was pretty weird playing in stadiums.
I bet it was.
And the lineup was, it was us and then a guy called Dizzy Rascal, who's a grime rapper from the UK, and then Muse. So it was a pretty eclectic lineup. But you know, it was amazing, and they're Woody's favorite band in the world.
Oh, pretty strong.
Oh, how about that?
And local Devon guys. And so yeah, it was nuts. We never expected to do anything like that. So it was really fun.
Well, a lot of things are happening for you that you didn't expect. The album Bad Blood is going to be released in America the first week of September. The guys from Bastille are here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and you're going to do the title track for us next. Is that right?
Yeah. This song's called Bad Blood.
Love it. Thanks.
Days that bind you together forever, and these little things that bind you forever. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? It's been cold for years, won't you? Resentment grows, we will walk our different ways. But those are the days that bind us together forever. And those little things that bind us forever. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? I don't want to hear about the bad blood anymore. I don't want to hear you talk about it anymore. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? It's been cold.
That's fantastic.
That's great stuff. Again, the band is called Bastille. You should pick up their record. It's available on four songs called Haunt on an EP, available on iTunes right now, also out on CD. Bad Blood, the full length, will be out in September. So glad we had a chance to meet you guys. Thanks so much for coming in and performing. It really sounded great.
Oh, thanks, guys. Cheers for having us.
Thank you.
Our friend Petros Papadakis from the PMS show joins us just after 7 o'clock to talk about what the NBA is likely to do to Clippers owner Donald Sterling. Today is the day they're supposed to make their decision. Also, we'll talk to comedian Jim Gaffigan next hour. Hey, Ralph Kramer, I'm glad you're in here.
Yeah.
Got an update on one of your favorite topics. I know you have been surprised, as I have, at how many stories are in the news lately about teachers having sex, female teachers having sex with their male students.
Yeah. It's some people say it's because we have more access to information now on the internet and blah, blah, blah. I would beg to differ. In fact, some sociologists are calling it a sexpidemic of cases where female students, as female teachers, rather, are have been accused, convicted, or are suspected of having sexual relationships with their students.
And by the way, it's not like you see this story once every couple of years.
It used to be that way.
It did.
Remember Mary Kay Letourneau had sex with that guy?
That was a nationwide scandal. The entire country was just gripped that something as shocking as that could ever happen. And now I feel like about every 2 weeks we see another story like this. Alicia Gray is one woman who was in the news for earlier this year, a married woman in Alabama. She's a mathematics teacher. She pled guilty to charges that she had sex with a 14-year-old student. Now, the reason she's back in the news is because she has found Jesus since then. And she did a video for the church that she now attends, the Deeper Life Fellowship. And here's a little bit of her talking about how she's all different now. She's not going to have sex with her students anymore.
Of course, I'm very sorry for my selfish actions and the choices that I made out of insecurity and hurts that I felt myself. And I'm sorry for those. And so thankful that God has changed me and shown me my identity in Jesus Christ, where I won't make those same selfish decisions or hurt other people. So because that joy that he's given me and that changed identity, I no longer have to feel shame about the person I once was, and I will never be again because I know who I am in Jesus.
First of all, the pastor needs to turn down the music.
Is she in an elevator? That would be easy listening.
But second of all, how bummed out are her students at her math class that she found Jesus?
Look, we had fun with this topic for some time. We're like, oh, well, you know, it's what difference does it matter? It's a teenage 15-year-old boy. Heck yeah, I wish that would happen to me. But it's not funny anymore. It's just it's insane. The number of women, look, this story just happened this week, made me think of it. A 42-year-old teacher has been arrested for giving one of her middle school students a full contact lap dance in front of the entire class. These women don't even have the decency to abscond with these kids to a motel anymore. Now they're giving lap dances in front of the class in middle school.
What are these circumstances under which that would have ever happened?
It was his birthday, Bean.
Okay.
The student was turned 15. He turned 15, and Felicia Smith of Houston, Texas, 42 years old, rubbed her hands all over the boy's body, then dropped to her knees and rubbed his head between his legs.
Who's the dirty snitch that called that to the authorities' attention?
Well, I'm guessing somebody in the class said, "This is making me slightly uncomfortable." The boy says he slapped Smith's rear end several times during the incident. He's spanking his teacher while she's giving him a lap dance. And the probable cause affidavit notes that the teacher's moves put the boy in a state of arousal.
Well, how could it not?
She told police the students convinced her to grind on the boy as a joke. Oh, that's hilarious.
What is... And look, I'm not trying to minimize the potential negative side effects of this kind of abuse by an adult over a minor. But what's the real damage to a young man that has this happen to him, do you think, Ralph?
I genuinely think that it skews their perspective of women and sexual relationships forever. You know, and look, obviously, I'm no prude. I'm a freak, and we've talked about this in the past of all my different sexual adventures, things like that. I'm all fine for anything that happens between consenting adults. Uh-huh. But if you're 15 years old and a teacher, a figure of authority, someone who is supposed to be in a position of mentor, teacher, if she sexualizes that relationship, specifically by giving you a lap dance in front of your other students in a classroom setting, I think that warps your perspective about school, about authority, about women, about the nature of relationships. I think at 15, you are not capable of processing that information in a
healthy way.
And
you need to be able to look at some people in a non-sexual way.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Not that all relationships with someone of the opposite sex is necessarily going to be sexualized.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Especially when it's someone in authority or someone you're supposed to be respectful of or have a mentor-teacher relationship with. I think once that line is crossed and once that gets blurry, I think it affects you for the rest of your life.
And when you're that young, when you're like many of the children in these stories, 13, 14, 15 years old, you're still forming what's going to be the way you're going to approach life. And that's probably going to stick with you. Why do you suppose there are dozens of these stories, female teachers having sex with underage males a year? Dozens.
Look, Dave the King of Mexico did some research for us. He gave us a couple pages from a website that has, I don't know, 20-some-odd pages of cases like this over the past few years. I've got two dozen here in my hands of women who have been convicted or accused of assaulting students, male and female, while they were either teachers' aides or teachers themselves. And I can't – that's the thing for me. I can't comprehend why these women, who are not all 20-somethings, by the way. I've got a 60-year-old woman here, 60-year-old married woman, had a four-week heated affair with a 17-year-old.
Wow.
This woman here, 34 years old, would rent hotel rooms, provide them with alcohol and pot, and had two women and two boys at the same time in her room. I mean, that blows me away, is what is going on with these women that they feel, I don't know, do they feel so insecure sexually, perhaps, that the only way they can have an upper hand is to take advantage of an age difference or take advantage of the power that they have in the classroom to try to coerce these young people who may not know any better into sexual relationships with them?
I don't know. And I also don't know if it's that a 15-year-old today looks more like an adult than a 15-year-old looked like maybe when that teacher was growing up. It seems like kids are growing up faster, too. Is that part of it, maybe? Is that they seem like they're not as off limits because they don't look like little kids anymore?
Maybe.
For some of them, anyway?
Look, I'm sure there, and I know this for a fact, when I went to high school, there were teachers, male teachers, who I became friends with after the fact, would be like, oh, man, that girl in your class, remember her? It's like, boy, she was really attractive. It was hard to be a teacher and look at certain students because they were so young and
especially if you're a
attractive
young teacher and there's only a 7-8 year age difference between the teacher and the student in some cases.
But the fact remains, you are a teacher. And with that job comes a certain responsibility to sublimate your own sexual feelings and to say, okay, I'm not going to act on those things. Sure, we're all human and we can look at a young, attractive person and say, wow, that's great.
That's a feeling.
But you have to say, but I'm a teacher and I'm in a position of trust and power here, and I can't cross that line because it's just not the right thing to do for these kids. If you cared at all about the kids, you would just not do that. And I can't imagine that because 15-year-old guys are looking so great to these women in their 20s, 30s, 40s sometimes, that they aren't cognizant of the fact that there has to be some separation. There has to be a line there that they can't cross.
So you're uptight.
Yeah, that's me. I'm uptight.
I attend South Park Elementary, and one of the teachers is having sex with a student.
Oh, my God!
This is terrible.
You did the right thing telling the police, Brad. Now, who is the teacher? What's his name?
Well, it isn't a guy teacher. It's a woman.
A woman?
Yeah, she's having sex with a boy.
Oh, but she's ugly, right?
Well, no, not really. It's the kindergarten teacher, Miss Stevenson.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Some young boy's having sex with Miss Stevenson?
Yes.
Nice. Has she performed oral sex on him?
I think so.
Nice. Nice. So wait, what's the crime? The crime is she isn't doing it with me.
Nirvana, the Black Keys of Monsters and Men all coming up, plus a brand new Bean's Death Corner and comedian Ian Edwards next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock for a Friday. Okay, so Ralph, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I am too.
You sometimes accuse me of being creepy and inappropriate.
Yes, when you are creepy and inappropriate.
And I very strongly disagree with that assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an incident that happened to me on Wednesday that I want to run by you, and I need to find out if I'm really this out of touch. If things have changed, okay?
Oh, I can answer it now. Yeah, we don't need to go any further.
So can I.
See, now, yes. This is the problem. Now, This is the problem with me bringing this up, is you ought to, you have a built-in bias against me.
Well, you know what? The track record speaks for itself. If every time I go up to pet a certain dog, it bites my ass, I'm going to assume that dog is an ass biter.
What's the policy these days? And I ask both of you. Ralph, you seem to be fairly aware of how people interact in the world. And Lisa, I ask you because you're a woman, so this directly relates to you as well.
Okay.
What's the policy these days on telling a woman that she is attractive? Is that no longer allowed? Is that now a bad thing? Is that an insult now? Is that completely inappropriate to tell a person that she's pretty?
It's all a part of the delivery.
It's how you do it.
Absolutely. Lisa's right. It's how you do it. It's how you
if
approach
you're
it.
You're staring at her chest, it's saying, wow, you look really good today. That's a problem.
Yeah. It's tone. It's a choice of words. It's how you deliver it. There's so much involved in that. So you can't just put a blanket policy on it, Bean. Yes, of course, women like to be told they're attractive, but they don't like Uncle Creepy coming off the island in his white panel van.
I'm not Uncle Creepy.
I'd like to see those without that shirt on.
It wasn't anything like that. All right.
If I
tell you what happened, will you try to have an open mind and not prejudge me? Okay, now, because bear in mind, the woman involved in this story doesn't know me from Adam, and we know Adam. Hey, we just had him on the show yesterday. So she doesn't know me at all. So there's no preconceived.
You didn't make that joke around her.
All right.
There's no preconceived notion of me that she has to worry about me or she has a history with me or anything like that.
Look,
so
no one has to know you to be creeped out by you, Bean. Don't get me wrong.
Kevin's told us plenty of times how you just get in an elevator with him and there's a woman in there and he can see her start to move away from you and look afraid.
She'll shrink away because she can pick up your creepy vibe.
I'm extremely dissatisfied with this assessment
of my
character.
But I'll keep an open mind.
All right. So I'm driving off the ferry. You know, we have a boat. I live on an island.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it's not. So I'm driving off a ferry, and I'm in my lane getting off the ferry, and then there's traffic that is stopped in the opposing lane getting ready to get onto the ferry once all the cars are off, okay? So as I drive off, I am driving just past the lane of traffic that's going to enter the ferry next. And there's probably, I don't know, it's probably about 10 feet between my side of the road and their side of the road, okay? And as I'm getting off the ferry, there's a woman who's in the first car in the ferry line, and she is just gorgeous, just drop-dead beautiful, beautiful woman, totally my type. The long, straight, dark hair and the alabaster skin. You know what I mean?
You haven't even opened your mouth yet, and already I'm creeped out.
I'm just telling you what she looked like. She's just like a young Sherilyn Fenn, or like a you know my type. You know the type type I like.
Yes,
right?
Doto. We know 5'8" 5'9".
She's Alison Brie. That's who she is. Right? Okay. She looks like Alison Brie.
She's attractive.
She's so
We've
pretty.
Established it that she's an attractive
she's
lady.
Really, I mean, really hung latched onto. She's my type.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of women can be attractive without being your type.
Ooh,
by
alabaster
the way.
Skin. What? No, just start breaking off some phrases from the 1800s. I think we always start to get creepy.
No, I own
she
her.
She was a chin-haired beauty with alabaster skin.
All right. So my car is going this way. Her car is parked going that way. I walk by her. I'm struck by how attractive she is. It's hot day. Windows are down. And I look at her and I don't plan it, but it just comes out and I say, "You're pretty."
Oh, Jesus.
She looks at me and she says, "F you."
Really?
Except she doesn't say F.
Good for her.
And I was deeply offended by that because, look, that's completely unwarranted, I think, because I wasn't insulting her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I drove by and said, "Hey, you're fat." You know what I mean? Or something like that. I mean, I was giving her a compliment.
"I want to do you."
Yeah, he wasn't saying anything like that, anything crude like that. I mean, it was she didn't have any way of knowing that it was completely spontaneous and unintended. But all I said is, "You're pretty." And it's just something just struck me. You know what I mean? Like you would have a bowl of ice cream and go, "That's delicious." You know, it was just one of those things that came out.
Yeah.
But
it turns out she's not a bowl of ice cream, though.
Well,
it turns out she's a
that.
Human being.
But
do you really?
But isn't F you? Isn't that a complete and crazy overreaction to somebody who is just complimenting her?
Nope.
I do find it a little excessive.
At least you know this. Any man who says anything out of a window of a passing car, or there are certain circumstances where it's no longer acceptable to even be complimentary because there is a creep factor built in. If you're driving by and you're, some girl's on the street and you're yelling out your car window or whatever, it's just socially inappropriate on every level.
But I didn't scream out, "Show me your." You know,
but you know,
whatever.
There is something about what Ralph is saying, which is that she is in her car, which is really her personal space.
Right.
And you've invaded it.
And you're leering at her through the window. And,
she's not by herself in her car, sort of protected.
Right. The world comes crashing in on her, and immediately she feels vulnerable and thinks you've been looking at her and stuff. And there's a whole...
It was a one-second interaction. I never saw her before
in
my life.
But that interaction creates a whole world of baggage that goes on in her head once you've made that contact. Just saying something to some stranger is automatically sort of affronting. I mean, you put somebody back on their heels when a stranger says anything
but
to you.
But how do we... By the way,
let alone something pseudo-sexual and creepy like you, coming from this giant man stuffed into a clown car. That's been terrifying for her.
I'd love to hear what the Kevin and Bean listeners have to say about this, if they have thoughts on this, at 1-800-520-1067. Please give us a call and weigh in, however you feel. But how do we now live in a world of the 21st century where... What did you say? It's off-putting to have a stranger even talk to you? I mean, is that where we're at right now? Is a person can't say a nice thing to another person without all of a sudden it being suspect and fraught with danger?
It's all situational. If you're just saying something to someone in a car while you're passing them, that's creepy. If you met her in a social situation, if you were at a bar or a party or something, and you went up to her and talked to her and said, "Hi, how are we doing? You know, I meant to say, I noticed from across the room you're very attractive and you look great tonight," or something, that's fine if a stranger says it to you. But passing by in a car through a window, it's automatically weird.
Lisa, how about you? You're the young lady in the car. I drive by. You don't know me. I look at you and say, "You're pretty." There's no way you interpret that as, "Wow, that was a really sweet thing for that nice old man to say."
Well, I do think the car thing, there's something about you feel like you are in your own little world in your car and you shouldn't have to be invaded unless you've invited someone in. But on the other side of that, I've had it happen to me a couple of times where I was in a store or something and a man came in and said, "I just want to tell you, I saw you walk by and into the store and I just think you are so attractive," or whatever. And he said, "that's it," and he left.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
He didn't ask me out.
You weren't disturbed by that.
Now why is that okay at a store, but not in an even shorter encounter?
Because the way he said it and the fact he didn't want anything else, and it wasn't like, "You're pretty."
And
it was in a public place.
You're right. It's the interaction, the situation of the interaction means a lot in terms of how it's interpreted and how it's accepted. There's something about somebody driving by, saying out their window to you as you're going by the opposite direction, "You're pretty."
I wasn't Buzz Aldrining it up, though.
When you told us...
You said it. The way you said it was creepy.
"You're pretty." Like you're mentally disabled or something.
But we were
in
a public place, too. You understand we were in a public place.
But it's not public. She's in her car. That's not public for her.
I didn't grab her around a corner with a knife to her neck and say, "Hey, you're pretty."
No, but it's that weird drive-by thing, too, of just saying something, knowing that there could be no further conversation had, and you're just throwing that at her as you go by. It's automatically off-putting. It's just weird.
All right. We got to take a break. Laura.
Why do you have to say something anyway? Why can't you just look at a girl and think she's pretty and then just go about your business? Why do you have to impinge upon her with weirdness?
It wasn't my intention. It was absolutely spontaneous. It really was.
I have no control over the words that come out of my mouth. Well, you should be in a home, then, if that's the case.
Courtney, you hang on. Isabel, Laura, Letitia, we'll get to all your calls. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a little bit... eye-opening this morning, the suggestion that maybe I have misread a situation.
Yeah, I know.
Shocking.
Imagine that, something involving social interaction with other human beings, and you were off target.
The email is coming in. We got a bunch of calls we're going to get to at 1-800-520-1067. Adrian writes in, "Your intentions might not have been bad, Bean, but think about how many men have probably done that to her already. Her thought process is probably that you're just another creepy guy trying to get at her," says Adrian.
And she's right.
For those just joining us, what happened was I passed a woman in a situation. I was in my car. She was in her car. We were 10 feet apart. And I said, "You're pretty." And she said, "F you," to me. And I was really shocked by that because I meant no disrespect, no creepiness.
I just said she was pretty. To me, that's a compliment. Like, how can you be tired of or angered by or upset by somebody telling you you're pretty?
How can you not recognize that a social interaction being said out of a car window isn't a social interaction at all? It's a drive-by.
Okay, but it, had it happened,
it automatically makes it weird because you are there's no real effort or risk on your end. You don't have to deal with any chance of her rejecting you or saying something or whatever. You're just driving by and throwing something at her out the window. It automatically puts her on the defensive because it's a weird thing.
So had I been walking into the bank and she was walking out of the bank at the same time and I said, you're pretty, same situation?
No, just why does she have to be passing by you? Why can't it ever be something where you're in line with her, in front of her, behind her, and you turn around and say something to her? That means there's some social risk for you as well because you have to stand there and interact with her. This whole drive-by thing you got going over, you just like you say asides of compliments out of the side of your mouth while you're just zooming past someone. It's just weird.
No woman ever sticks around long enough for us to have a conversation, Ralph. You know that.
Well, then don't say anything to women. Just leave them alone, Bean. That's what we're saying.
Let's go to Laura first, please. She's on line 3 from Long Beach at 1-800-520-1067. Laura, thanks so much for calling. Thank you for holding on. Please help me out. What's going on here?
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi,
Laura.
Okay. So, basically, I do think Bean is super creepy, but, I do agree. It was totally unwarranted. I mean, I get it all the time, like just men just randomly through their cars, you know, passing by at the gym, like, and, you know, it is really violating, but I just say thank you and just move on with my day, basically because I've heard stories of, like, men getting really hostile. So, I mean, that woman could have been attacked from her car. She wouldn't have known.
Yeah, it's true.
So basically, whatever baggage she may have from previous encounters with other men is now being used against me because I tried to give her a compliment.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Again,
Bean is as understanding as ever when it comes to someone's situation. It's her baggage. She's using it against me. Maybe she couldn't help herself, Bean, the way you couldn't help yourself. You had to blurt
out. Point.
You're pretty. Maybe she had to blurt out, F you. Maybe she has the same problem you have.
Thank you, Laura, for the call. But I don't understand why the default position to a safe compliment in an encounter where the woman is in no danger, why is the default position F you? Like, why am I the bad guy
like
for telling
coming
somebody
out of a car window, you've put yourself in predator mode. It's a weird thing to have someone say something to you from out of their car window.
All right. Let's go to Tom, please. He's up next. He's on line 7. He's down in Montebello. Hey, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey. First off, rest in peace, monkey.
Yeah. You will be missed.
R.I.P.
Yeah. I got to agree with Bean. I'm sorry, but yeah, I agree with Lisa and Ralph. It's all about you're just being creepy, but it's also you have to have a delivery on it. I've done what Lisa said about a guy walking up to her and complimenting her, and I've done it. And I've had both reactions. One, they're very grateful, saying thank you very much. That's very sweet of you. Or I've had the deer in headlights look like going, what the hell are you saying?
There is a thing. There is that moment where you go, okay, what do they want?
Right. You don't know what's going
to
happen.
But if they say something nice like that and then say, just wanted to let you know and leave, it's like, wow, that was
then
kind of amazing.
Then they disarm the situation.
Yeah,
completely. You don't feel threatened like you would from a giant man in a small car yelling at you from the window.
And I never do it. I'd never do it in a car because, like you said, it's like, you know, that's a personal violation of space. Like you're looking and, hey, you're pretty. You might just reach out and grab her or something. But
all right, Tom. But, thanks for the call. Too many rules in this world we now live in, by the way. Can I say that?
No, they just to the rest of us, it comes naturally. We know you don't accost someone from a window of a car. It's
but
just
for
weird.
Being their rules.
I know, and you need a
and
list.
You have to memorize them.
You need a list.
By the way, when I was describing the woman in the car and how pretty she was, very Alison Brie type, John writes in, was it Bean's type he was describing or his victim profile?
Yeah,
and I don't think we necessarily need to go there.
That's so appropriate.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple more, please. How about let's go down to Whittier. Our man Curtis is on the line. Line 5, please. Hi, Curtis. You're up next on the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? Yeah.
Not so well today. Thank you for asking.
What's your take, Curtis?
Well, we're just working our night shift. The EMTs here, and my partner and I were just talking about how you coming off and just saying you're pretty. It sounds like a 4-year-old compliment.
It does.
Yeah, it's weird.
And except you're not a 4-year-old. You're a big man in a small car.
Hey.
You're pretty. You're really pretty.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not just say, wow, you look really good today, as you drive by and not even worry about what she's saying. It doesn't even matter what she says.
You're right. You're pretty. It's like of mice and men. It's like he's going to snap the head off a bunny rabbit or something.
Exactly.
You guys. I just said a woman was pretty.
You gotta get a little more original with your compliments. You can't just say you're pretty to
But when you say, but listen, Curtis, when you say you got to get a little bit more original, again, I'm not hitting on her. I wasn't asking her out. I wasn't doing anything but just complimenting her. That's it.
Yeah, but it's dull. It's such a dull compliment. How many times has a girl heard you're pretty in her life? It's like telling a girl, wow, you have pretty eyes. You look pretty, not wow, you look great today, and just keep going. You're saying you're pretty just sounds like a 4-year-old.
All right. Thank you very much, Curtis. I appreciate
she's this yeah. mentally damaged giant in a car next to her going, you're pretty. Of course she's going to be scared to death.
Paul writes in, our frequent Kevin and Bean listener and contributor Paul Lee, Ralph, writes in, and he's a very smart man, so let's see what he has to say. I think in this day and age, it is inappropriate to comment on the physicality of people. Do not comment on weight, height, attractiveness, or possible disabilities, especially with strangers. This often causes the person to become very self-conscious. Ultimately, it's contextual. If you have a certain degree of familiarity, such as a friend, you may be able to say more, especially complimentary things, but otherwise, it's not appropriate to comment on physicalities. If you wouldn't say, wow, you're ugly to a stranger, you shouldn't say, wow, you're pretty. That's what Paul says.
I'm sorry. I fell asleep halfway through that.
Let's do one more just to get a difference of opinion on from Courtney and Glendora. And I hope that Courtney is speaking for many women who are listening that we did not get a chance to talk to. Hi, Courtney. You have a different of opinion than a lot of the people we've talked to, right?
Yeah. Hi, Dean. Hi, Ralph. Hi, Lisa Mae.
Hey, good morning.
All right. Yeah, I personally, I don't agree with anyone because I get compliments sometimes, like while I'm driving or while I'm walking, and I think it's not really too much of a personal invasion of privacy. I just say thank you, and I smile and wave. But if, like, I think because Dean was driving by, I think he wasn't, like, going out of his way to follow this girl to tell her she's pretty. That would be creepy. I think that since he was actually just passing by and it was
thank
a thought
you.
That popped into his head.
Thank you, Courtney.
I think it was nice. I mean, yeah, maybe you are creepy, but, you know.
I think it's very
think
sweet.
It
by the way, I didn't mention, I also did have my penis out at the time.
See?
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
This is sad, Ralph. I hadn't even thought about this before.
What's that?
Catherine writes in, I was unable to write when you guys were on the topic about Bean complimenting the young woman in the car, but I wanted to say that a common attitude among many women these days seems to be whether or not a compliment is acceptable varies in relation to how attractive the receiver finds the giver.
Oh, sure. That's always a fact.
I have several female coworkers. When a certain older man pays them a compliment, no matter how innocent, they think he's a creep. But if a younger, better-looking guy pays them a compliment, then they're flattered all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just that I was horrible. Maybe that's what was going on.
Or when you're 100, she's really going to be flattered when a girl you say that to a girl because you'd be the coolest old man in the world.
Be the coolest, exactly. Hey, the very funny Ian Edwards in studio with us. He's joining us right after the top of the hour. One of my very favorite new comics. I'm so happy that he's here. So that's
funny.
Coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's happening?
Really quickly on that call-in topic we did about Bean creeping out that girl in the car. Eric writes in, Ralph, I think you're all missing the main point. Don't most people, male and female, want to spontaneously tell Bean to F off whether they know him or not? That's true. That is the general reaction most people have to him.
So it almost doesn't matter what I said.
No,
the response would have been F you.
You could have said, do you know how to get to the nearest? F you would have been the first thing she said.